Le cauchemar.
Read.
The lower floors had no windows to let in the early morning sun, so the lighthouse's interior remained dark. The air, dank, stale. Broken glass littered the floor, glinting in the narrow swath of light from the door. A small, frightened creature skittered across it, and the shards tinkled under its tiny paws. I looked closer. Mirrors. Broken mirrors. They each reflected different pieces of the circular room, rusted hooks on walls, coiled ropes atop them, bowed beams overhead. A moldy bed sat in one corner, along with the tarnished iron pot, remnants of the last keeper who lived here. I moved farther into the hodgepodge space, watching as the reflections shifted. Now Celie's wide eye, now Beau's drawn mouth, now Coco's tense shoulders. Lou kept a hand on my lower back. Beyond our footsteps, no other sound penetrated the silence. Perhaps the creature had already moved on. Perhaps Father Achille had been mistaken. The door slammed shut behind us. Both Coco and Celie leapt into Beau with identical shrieks. He somehow missed both of them, however, startling sideways with a vicious curse. The two had no choice but to clutch each other as I stormed past, wrenching the door open once more. "We're fine," I said firmly. "It was the wind." That same wind caressed my cheeks now, bringing with it a soft bout of laughter. Was that? My heart nearly seized. Looking around wildly, I pivoted in a full circle. The others imitated my movements with panicked expressions. "What is it?" Coco flicked a knife from her sleeve. "Did you hear something?" My heartbeat thundered in my ears. "I thought I heard..." "The Archbishop," I almost finished, but the words caught in my throat. "I thought I'd heard the Archbishop, but that couldn't be. He wasn't here. He never laughed. I didn't fear him." It was La Forêt des Yeux all over again. Instead of trees, the cauchemar mocked me, twisting my thoughts into nightmares. It could have hidden in the shadows. Celie had described a hulking beast, but perhaps it could change shape. We knew virtually nothing about this creature or its abilities, its appetite. I took a steadying breath. Cauchemars are notoriously cruel, but this creature hasn't yet attacked. Cruel or no, it hadn't harmed anyone. That laugh, it was a figment of my imagination, a defense mechanism the cauchemar had cultivated to protect itself, not to attack, not to kill or maim or eat. Still, its tactics weren't exactly endearing. When the laughter returned a second later, I slipped a blade from my bandolier, whirling toward the source. It hadn't been the cauchemar at all. It had been Lou. I slowly lowered my blade. Oblivious, she leaned around me to peer into the room, still chuckling softly. "I can smell the fear in this place. It's potent. Alive." When we stared at her, nonplussed, she pointed to the walls. "Can you not scent it? It coats the ropes." Her finger turned to the soft floorboards. "Paints the glass. The entire room is slick with it." "No," I said stiffly, wanting to throttle her. "I don't scent anything."
"Perhaps it's your fear I smell, then, not the cauchemar."
When the wind gusted through once more, her grin faded, and she tilted her head again, listening.
"It does feel different, though. It feels..."
But she kept the words she would have spoken, trailing into silence instead, her hand clenched on my back.
"I think we should leave."
Surprised by her reaction, yet somehow not, I approached the spiral staircase in the center of the room. The wood had half rotted. Tentatively, I tested the bottom step with my foot. It dipped beneath my weight.
"We will. After we warn the creature. After we ask for its help."
For a short moment, she looked likely to argue. Her lip curled, her eyes darkened. Just as quickly, however, her expression cleared, and she dipped her chin in a slight nod, brushing past me up the stairs. We ascended the next two floors in a single file line, one step at a time, slow, cautious, We paused only to inspect the dilapidated rooms beyond, but the Koshmar, if here at all, remained hidden. "What was that?" Bo whipped his head to the door on our right, to the ominous groan behind it. "Did you hear?" Something creaked overhead, and another gust of wind swept up the staircase. He spun to face Coco. "Was that you?" Her eyes darted all around us. Why would I be moaning? It was a mark of Bo's panic that he didn't respond. Instead, he nearly tripped over Celie as she stooped to collect something from the moldy stair. It gleamed through her fingers in the darkness, a shard of mirror. Straightening, she held it out in front of her, like a knife. A beat of silence passed as we stared at her.
"What?"
she hissed defensively, face nearly white. "No one gave me a weapon." To my surprise, Coco responded by bending to retrieve her own shard. She held it poised in her free hand, saying nothing of the knife in her other, and nodded once in Celie's direction. Then she nudged Bo. He looked between them, aghast. "You cannot be serious. We're more likely to wound ourselves than the Koshmar with such rubbish." Rolling my eyes, I pressed a dagger into his palm before picking up my own piece of glass. At Celie's incredulous stare, one corner of my mouth quirked up. "What?" I shrugged and continued upward, not looking back. "It was a good idea." We crept toward the final floor in silence. When the door below slammed shut again, Bo's whisper quickly followed. "I'm as opposed to airing my dirty laundry as anyone, but perhaps, in light of the circumstances, it might help to discuss our fears." The step beneath him heaved an ominous groan, and he exhaled sharply. "For example, if one of you could reiterate how you'd never dream of ignoring or forgetting me, that would be grand. It's a ridiculous notion, I know, but for the sake of—"
"Quiet!"
Lou snapped. The staircase ended with a door directly overhead. She tilted her head again, hesitating, before pushing it open and slipping through. I followed, nearly flattening her when I climbed to my feet. She'd stopped abruptly to take in the final floor, an open room without walls to shield us from the elements. Only a handful of beams held the roof in place, and sun spilled in from every direction, banishing the last of the shadows. I breathed a sigh of relief. The Koshmar wasn't here. Nothing was here, save an enormous fire basin. Built into the center of the stone floor, it stood empty. No wood or ashes, except... Lou stood perfectly still, the wind whipping her pale hair across her face. Except it wasn't empty at all. From the basin, an enormous figure rose. Cloaked in soiled fabric, it charged toward us with blackened, outstretched hands. I lunged to Lou's side, but she'd already moved, surging forward with lightning quickness. When she lashed out with her blade, clipping the creature's midsection, it reared backward like a great bear. Though a hood shielded its hair, its face, its teeth, it swiped at Lou with one massive paw, and she sailed through the air. I dove after her, catching her wrist before she could slide from the room's edge. As the others attacked, their knives and mirrors glinting in the sunlight. "Stop!" The wind carried away my shout. "Don't hurt it! We're here to warn the creature, not stop!" The Koshmar stumbled back a step, hands still raised, but didn't hesitate to knock Coco's glass aside and roar when she slashed its thigh. She danced out of reach before it could wrap its hands around her neck, and then the first terror came. Though Lou had warned us, nothing could have prepared me for the horrifying jolt of fear, of pain. My vision flashed white, blinding me, and I slipped, crouching down to one knee. From the others' startled cries, they experienced the same. A black room, blacker chains, cold against my skin, wrong. Blood slides from my wrists to the floor in a steady drip. I count each drop. She returns at the top of each hour, 3,600 seconds, 3,600 drops. When the door creaks open at drop 3,562, I choke back a scream. A saw, a hand saw. She lifts it to the candlelight. "Is it in your bones? I wonder, like theirs." I fell to my hands as the faceless woman advanced, gasping for breath, shaking my head, forcing my eyes to see reality instead of the glint of bone, to see Lou writhing on the floor beside me, to see Coco in the fetal position, Bo flat on his back, Celie wide-eyed and trembling. I threw my glass shard, and it stuck, point first, in the creature's shoulder. Lurching to my feet, I tore another knife from my bandolier. The Koshmar stood its ground, a rumbling noise built in its chest, but I ignored the growl and advanced. The others struggled to join me in vain. Another wave of fear crippled us before we could reach the beast.
Alone. I'm alone. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Where is he?
I gritted my teeth and continued, disoriented, stumbling against the flickering white like a drunkard.
Speak!
A high, imperious voice, her voice.
Or I shall pluck out your brother's eyes. It is a fitting punishment, yes? He rendered you mute. I shall render him blind.
But I cannot speak. Drugged, the drug, it congeals in my system. The manacle at my throat chokes me. Moan, I try to moan, but she only laughs. His screams fill the air, his pleas. Oh my God. This wasn't right. I didn't fear torture. I wasn't mute. More images flashed. Broken pieces, fragmented horror, a swollen jaw, irrepressible hunger, empty syringes, the burning pain of infection, a chilling laugh and stale bread, and through it all an acute, unbearable panic.
Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Where is he?
Wolves howling, eucalyptus, moonbeam hair, moonbeam hair. I blinked rapidly, my vision clearing with Lou's. With a shrill battle cry, she rushed forward, knife raised. I caught her around the waist, spinning her away from the Koshmar. It still waved its hands frenetically, as if trying to tell me something. My stomach churned violently.
Hold! I think it's...
In a clumsy, disjointed movement, the Koshmar pulled back its hood. I stared at it. Contrary to Celie's description, the Koshmar didn't have shadow-cloaked skin or sharp teeth. Its hair was matted, yes, but its swollen eyes inspired more fear than its namesake. Its broken jaw evoked more rage. My vision tunneled to its lacerated thigh, to the angry red streaks of disease on its russet skin, to the blood crusting its tattered pants. This Koshmar had been beaten. Badly. It also wasn't a Koshmar at all. It was Thierry Saint-Martin. Lou twisted from my grasp and sprinted toward him once more. Incredulous, I caught her wrist.
Lou, stop! Stop! This is... Let me go!
She seethed, still struggling viciously, frantic, distraught.
Let me kill it!
Anger flared, hot and sudden. Tightening my grip, I dragged her back to my side and kept her there.
Stand down! I won't ask again. This is Thierry, remember? Thierry Saint-Martin!
At his name, Thierry sagged with relief against the stone basin. I felt his presence in my mind, saw a picture of my own face before he slurred a single word. I resisted the urge to go to him, to sling an arm around his shoulders for support. He looked likely to collapse. Lowering my voice, trying to soothe, I murmured,
I'm here. Everything will be all right. Lou recognizes you now. Isn't that right, Lou?
She finally stopped struggling, and I relinquished my hold on her.
Yes.
Voice soft. She looked between Thierry and me for a long moment. I stood perfectly still, wary of the odd gleam in her eyes, savage and bright, like that of a cornered animal.
Yes, I recognize him.
Then she turned and fled. Barreling into the others, knocking them aside, Lou didn't slow as she reached the door. Celie pinwheeled backward on impact, but Coco caught her elbow before she free fell down the stairs, swearing viciously in response. Bo hurled insults after Lou, but she didn't stop. The shadows closed around her as she raced out of sight.
Thierry lifted a weak hand.
Two of his fingers appeared broken. Voice hitched with urgency, slow with concentration, he said, "Cash." I didn't stop to think, to hesitate, to consider the resolve hardening in my chest, this sensation, this fiery sense of justice, of righteousness. It felt familiar, unsettlingly so. She darted down the stairs below me with unnatural swiftness, already near the ground floor. In seconds, she'd be out the door. "Lou!" My shout reverberated with unexpected fury. I didn't understand why my hand shook or my teeth clenched. I didn't understand why I needed to catch her, but I did. I needed to catch her like I needed to breathe. Bo had been right. Something was wrong here. Terribly, terribly wrong. It went beyond her magic. It went beyond Ansel's death, beyond mourning. Like fruit left in the sun to rot, Lou had split open and something foul had grown inside. Perhaps it had happened during the Masquerade des Clans. Perhaps before, perhaps after. It didn't matter. It had happened. And though my instincts had tried to warn me, I'd ignored them. Now they propelled my feet forward faster. Faster still. They told me if Lou reached the door, if she disappeared into the cliffs beyond, I'd never see her again. That could not happen. If I could just catch her, talk to her, I could make things right. I could make her right. It didn't make any sense, but there it was. This chase had suddenly become the most important of my life, and I wouldn't ignore my instincts any longer. When she cleared the last stair, I took a deep breath. Then I gripped the spiral railing and vaulted over it. Dank air roared in my ears as I plunged to the ground. Eyes widening over her shoulder, Lou bolted for the door. "Fuh!" Her expletive ended in a shriek as I landed on top of her. Twisting onto her back, she clawed at my face, my eyes, but I seized her wrists and pinned them to the floor. When she continued to buck and thrash, I straddled her waist, broken glass tearing into my knees as we grappled. My weight kept her restrained, however. Immobilized. She smashed her head into my jaw instead. Grinding my teeth, I pushed my forehead against hers, hard. "Stop it," I snarled, flattening myself against her. The others descended the stairs in a cacophony of shouts. "What is wrong with you? Why are you running?"
"The cauchemar,"
she struggled harder, panting feverishly.
It transformed into Tiri."
But the lie crumbled in her mouth. As Tiri limped forward. In the shards of mirrors, his very real hatred refracted from every angle, his very real injuries. Coco followed, dropping to the floor beside us. She thrust her bloody forearm to the air above Lou's mouth, the unspoken threat clear. "Don't make me do it, Lou." Lou's chest rose and fell rapidly beneath mine. Sensing the battle lost, she bared her teeth in a saccharine smile.
"Is this how you treat a friend, Cosette? A sister?"
"Why did you run?" Coco repeated. No warmth lingered in her expression as she gazed at her friend, her sister. Instead, Coco's eyes glittered with frigid, impenetrable cold. The two could have been perfect strangers, no, enemies. "Why did you attack him?"
Lou sneered. "We all attacked him."
"Not after we'd seen his face.
He startled me. Look at the state of him."
At this, Tiri's hands curled into fists. Bo winced at his purple fingers.
"Perhaps we should return to the chapel, procure supplies," he suggested. "You need medical attention."
Tiri interrupted, the words strained, breathless inside our minds. Celie gasped at the mental intrusion, her eyes flicking wildly between Tiri and me.
"Her who?"
I asked.
"What happened to you?"
My voice echoed too loud in the dilapidated room, my flushed cheeks and corded neck reflecting back at me in the broken mirrors. I looked unbalanced, out of control.
"Where have you been?"
But it seemed he couldn't answer. Pictures flickered wildly again, each more incoherent than the last. When his black gaze fixed pointedly on Lou, my stomach plummeted. My hands turned to ice, sick with trepidation, with regret. I spoke through gritted teeth.
"Tell me, Terry. Please."
He moaned and slumped against the balustrade. Celie shook her head as if trying to dislodge an irksome fly. She couldn't shake his voice from her mind, however, couldn't impede his magic. Dazed, she stammered, But what does Louise have to do with? She gaped at his various injuries before hastily looking away. With your misfortunes? He can't answer you. Not yet. Coco's fierce gaze never wavered from Lou. He's exhausted and injured, and the magic required for speech is too much.
Was he... Do you think he was tortured?
Yes.
But why?
Celie asked, clearly horrified.
By whom?
Coco's eyes narrowed. He answered the last for us. As one, we all looked to Lou. But her attention remained fixed on Coco. They studied each other for what felt like an eternity, neither blinking, neither revealing a flicker of emotion, before a slow, uncanny grin split Lou's face.
Two princesses fair, one gold and one red, she sang, her voice familiar yet not. They slipped into darkness. Now the gold one is dead.
A chill snaked down my spine at the odd words, at her smile and her eyes. Something shifted in them as she stared back at us, something sinister. They flickered almost silver, like... My mind viciously rejected the possibility. Lou cackled. Recoiling, Coco exhaled a breathless curse. No! She repeated the word like a mantra, her hand flying to her collar, tearing her mother's necklace from her throat. No, 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 no! When she slid the locket along her bloody forearm, it glowed briefly scarlet before clicking open. She thrust it toward me. Lift her up now! I hastened to comply, but Lou struck with the speed of an adder, her teeth sinking deep into the soft flesh of my cheek. I reared backward with a roar, lifting her knee with alarming force. She connected with my groin. I folded instantly at the spike of white-hot pain. Stars dotted my vision, and waves of nausea racked my frame. Vaguely, I heard Lou spring to her feet, but I couldn't move, couldn't breathe. Celie nudged my ribs with her boot. Get up! She said, voice low and panicked. Glass crunched and bodies thudded somewhere beyond me. She kicked my side again. She's getting away! Get up! Groaning, I forced myself to my feet. Though my entire lower half ached, I leapt to join Bo and Tiri near the door, where they struggled to contain Lou. She hissed and spat as Coco tried to force blood to her lips. With one man holding her on each side, I stepped behind, wrapping an arm around her waist and seizing her hair in my fist. I forced her head backward. The movement bared her face to Coco, who acted quickly, smearing blood across Lou's mouth. Lou screamed and seized instantly. Blisters formed where the blood touched her lips.
What is it?
I asked wildly. My stomach rioted with fear, with regret, with treacherous, treasonous resolve. I did not let go. What have you done?
I thought your blood would just subdue her.
Bo's frantic voice echoed my own. He watched in horror as Lou's back bowed as she finally slumped in our arms. Coco stepped back, eyes blazing with satisfaction.
The blood of an enemy poisons.
The blood of an enemy poisons. Nonsensical words, ludicrous ones, and yet... Realization began to take shape in my gut, even as my mind still protested. Bo shook Lou with rising hysteria, his breath labored, his face red.
What the fuck does that mean?
He shook her harder. Is she... Have we just... But Coco only grasped Lou's chin in answer, forcing open one fluttering eyelid. She isn't dead. I repeated the words, trying to calm the thunderous beat of my heart, to ignore my mounting apprehension. She isn't dead. She isn't dead. She isn't dead. She's just...
You said something was clearly wrong with her. Coco retrieved her locket from where it had fallen to the ground.
Lou twitched in response.
You said it went beyond grief.
That doesn't mean we poison her, Bo said incredulously. She's still Lou. She's still my sister.
No, Coco shook her head with vehemence. She isn't. Lifting the mirror in the locket to Lou, she revealed the stark truth at last. I held long black hair in my hand, not white. The waist I clasped wasn't right either. Though I couldn't feel her bones beneath my fingers, I could see each rib in her reflection. Her skin appeared sickly, alabaster, pale, not the smooth and freckled gold I loved, and scarred. So very scarred. My pulse slowed to a dull, steady rhythm as I took in the truth, a poison all its own. I felt its cold touch in my chest, felt it crystallize around my heart. When it crept down my spine, my legs debilitating me, my knees gave out, and I crumpled, dragging Lou's body down with me. I stared at her slack face in my lap. Those dark circles beneath her eyes had deepened since yesterday. Her cheeks had grown sharper. She'd been fighting an altogether different poison, a disease. Nicolina Leclerc. Fire burst through the ice like lava, melting everything in its path. My hands shook. My chest heaved. Get her out! I snarled.